quite difficult to feel humility. In 2019, I surrounded myself with people who helped me grow and challenge my masculinity, not helping in the way of pushing the flower closer to the sun or providing notes and feedback on my homework. Instead, they challenged me in ways that made me look at all the negative points of my masculinity. These people, along with the outside world, made me look deep into my skin and my character. I chipped away at pieces of myself like I was made of marble. I littered the floor with chunks of myself, albeit some things I had to remove from my character, like my dog-eat-dog mentality, that every man was out to get me or be better than me, invoking a mindset to always be on the offensive, physically pushing through crowds and looking at other men like they were brutes instead of brothers. I picked at bad pieces. I picked at good pieces too. My vision was blurred and I picked away at myself, to the point where I believed everything that I did in the name of me being a man was bad. Every piece of me was a pimple needing to be popped. Picking away. And I'm not Donatello. I'm not Michelangelo. And that same support circle? They weren't sculptors either. There was no sculpture they had in mind for the finished product. And I spiraled that year. It's not pretty, but it took me a long time to get here, talking to you like this. I used my pen like a pickaxe and journaled all my intrusive thoughts down. Those same journal entries inspire this episode today. In that year, I described my mind state as the pitfalls, where everything I saw was gray. Everything I tasted needed spice. Everybody I met could have been better. And every statistic I read about men felt like another destination for me. I hit the pitfalls. But for you, I want to explore what I never had. A pit stop. A pit stop where we take in the negative and the positive pieces. Those same morsels of my masculinity that covered the floor at one point in my life saved me this year. But I'll tell you that story later in the episode.
Fucking floor to somebody.
Last episode, we spoke about caricatures and how they play into what we expect. How they can be harmful if you don't know yourself, if you don't love yourself, if you have built a shaky foundation in what's being portrayed. We had fun breaking down the top 10 Kiwi men, leaving out the top spot for this episode. Through that list, we looked at the positives and negatives of our most influential figures, what they've taught generations of men before us, and what they're going to teach generations of men after us. From listening to this, on episode 3, you and I are a long way from the Mitre 10 man, the DIY guy, the rugby fanatic, and the bush boy. That's surface level analysis. You and me, we've been on this journey for roughly half an hour now. A relationship that's it's felt like forever, hasn't it? So, let's get intimate. Let's skip the small talk. Waiter, bring the bill. Let's talk about the men who feel active dislocation. The men who attempt to go bush or live off the land when something goes wrong. Those blokes who fantasize about the 80-minute wet dream of being anonymous and hostile. Alone and armed in the bush, only eating what you can kill with your bare hands. Let's talk about the men who never seem capable of it, but hide and manifest in sudden and inexplicable acts of violence, whether it be domestic, family, or sexual violence. The men who act in bad faith, the devil's advocate. The men who are free spirits, the opposite in response to anything else that others say about them. In New Zealand, there's a well-being crisis. And what you need to know is that the highest rate of suicides in gender is males, by a long shot. The highest age range is 20 to 24, by a long shot. I'm letting you know that for context. Because many times in this nation, we pull out figures that are supposed to shock you into caring about our men, into calling your brother, and taking your father out for lunch to check in. And that check in, being whatever you think is enough for them to not reach the pitfalls. But that check in is a pit stop, a moment of clarity and conversation. What may seem like a boring day with your dad could be the pit stop he needs to show his love and appreciation, to talk out his anger and frustration, to to untangle the confused wires that the world on his phone showed him. You see, pitfalls are described as a hidden or unsuspected danger, very much like a pothole. You know when you're driving down the state highway, cruising with the windows down and the breeze in your ear and on the radio. Your confidence in the moment, your driving skills, and the road you've driven 100 times encourages you to lay back a bit, turn the radio up and bliss out a little bit. And then, pothole. We know potholes exist, but that doesn't mean we scan the road looking for them all the time. That would be pure pessimism, expecting the worst, right? Then again, we don't get in, chuck the keys in, and eyes closed, get to our destination, right? That would be blind optimism. When driving, we have to have our eyes on all obstacles around us. The pedestrians crossing the road, the truck in front of us, the bus behind us. All of these angles matter. Driving through life is no different. When we're in cruise control, doing what we think is safe and secure, sometimes we can move in a way that could hurt us, strangers, or the people that we love. That pit stop can be that wake-up call for someone at the wheel. For those of us who are carrying an alcohol addiction, we find ourselves locked into social situations where everyone else is drinking. It can be tough, because the standard Kiwi greeting is,
"Hey, can I get you a drink?"
Or,
"Can I get you a drink?"
Maybe even,
"Bye."
Drinking a beer with full knowledge of what alcohol does to us, heightens emotions, limits patience, makes decisions seem like pleasure or pity. And before you get carried away into getting that round of shots and your next pint, pit stop. Is your pitfall waking up in a place unfamiliar to you? Is your pitfall looking at your bank balance and having to crunch numbers for the next meal? Is your pitfall writing out apologies and sorries the day after? Can a pit stop from me help you? But for those of us carrying a gambling addiction, we find ourselves knowing the ins and outs of the sport, knowing that the Hurricanes are a second half team, and the way the captain speaks to them at halftime could easily equal a second half double bet, which would be fantastic for my multi, and maybe if I win this bet, I can shout the boys beers, and they can help me out with my next few, because the races are on in the next hour, and... What's that pitfall look like for you? Losing out on your multi by 1 or 2 legs the last 7 times, and maybe $100 later, this isn't so fun anymore. For those of us feeling inadequate, who can't reverse the 4-wheel drive with a trailer attached to it, no idea how to put up the fence, and went fishing once in his life, catching nothing but a cold and disdain for squid guts. Those of us who hear, "Do better," and "you're useless," as a joke, too often for it to be funny. Crying too much and feeling too many emotions about things that shouldn't matter. Fully knowledgeable that maybe on the other side showing that you're too into sports and fishing means they'll label you a red flag. Maybe you shouldn't wear your league shorts, it could give off the wrong impression. Yeah, every ad in my phone, every woman in my life tells me to talk about my feelings and share my emotions more, and... What's the pitfall look like here? It's not because we fall outside the bounds of a Kiwi man, nor is it the fact that we camp safely inside that box. The pitfall here is that you believe there is a box. There's no textbook way to be a man in New Zealand. Love all of the pieces of your masculinity. Take pit stops and assess the situations that could push you to the pitfalls. Sometimes we believe the box is real, and we're too scared to step in and out of it. And at the start of this episode, when I talked about the sculpture and that story that I was going to tell you when I started to pick up the pieces, that piece that I chiseled away at was my apprehension to sharing my emotions. I thought I was doing the world a disservice by not acknowledging my negative feelings, crying, and letting everyone around me know that I was truly feeling not that great. Anything less than being 100% transparent in public was toxic. I chiseled that piece of me away until I lost my grandfather. In the middle of the night, I received a text that he had passed away and that I was the one that had to tell my parents. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but immediately I reached into the pieces of my masculinity and held it together. I didn't show my emotions. I spoke calmly. I collected myself. And I delivered bad news in a way that I don't even know if I could do again. In that moment, I realized that when I held it together, I kept in my emotions. I wasn't ready to express them, not just for my sake, but for my loved one's sake. And that situation happened again and again and again. Unfortunately, when I lost other men in my life, whether it been to suicide, whether they just went missing, or whether it was to the justice system, having control of my feelings, having a hold on when I can express them, and not being pressured to say things when I haven't processed it, has been my pit stop. That pit stop right there helped me put the pieces of my masculinity back together. From that journal in 2019, I wrote this for you. I know that when she tells you to do better, you hear it in your dad's voice. It stings in your head and bounces around more than they give light to. Maybe you'll turn to bad beer and cheap jugs. Maybe you'll turn to high reps and low sets. Knowing that our women have not had enough time to speak in the past, and understanding that while your confidence is beaming, your voice is not welcomed at this time. It's hard to understand, but once you do, your mother will be proud, your sisters will feel heard, and your daughter will have fewer obstacles to her freedom. Understanding it's not all men, knowing who those men are, you let it be known they are outcasted. I know you risk drowning in the streams of friendship you've created, falling from social ladders you've climbed through substance abuse and silent emotional moments. I know it's a hard conversation to have, no matter how many of those who have never faced it claim how easy it is. I know it's confusing, the subtle undertones of you leading the pack when the thunder hits, when someone knocks on the door. You're supposed to have your shit together, provide for your brothers, giving more than food on the table, but peace of mind when the darkest clouds arrive. The comments about you being trash, not being needed, and needing to do better didn't age as well as you could have. Those comments are the reasons you don't reach out. Why you feel like you can't be anything less than. Why you don't talk about your health. Why our demographic is number one in those stats every year like it's a race. Even writing this makes me feel vulnerable, risking the idea that I'm creating some sort of barrier shielding those men who don't need it. Throwing stones behind the wall and hiding their hands. Those who have the social skills of a tomato and have educated themselves online for the last decade. Twitter fights and source arguments. To you I say, I'm sorry we couldn't show you the love we had before the hate consumed you. I wrote that in my journal 4 years ago and later published it. And as I read it here for you right now, I wish I had a pit stop back then. Because for all the hurt that I felt back then, I didn't have any brothers to talk to about it. Nobody that could articulate the masculine emotions and pieces that we were trying to pick apart and put together. Bell Hooks said, "To indoctrinate boys into the rules of patriarchy, we force them to feel pain and to deny their feelings." So on the next episode, we're going to talk to the boys. We're going to acknowledge the pain that we felt. And instead of denying those feelings, we're going to accept them. Accept the pieces of our masculinity that we want to take away and we want to enhance. But most importantly, we're going to make some pit stops. And we're going to make those pit stops on patreon.com/unpack. If you want to hear the closure of this series, go to that website or click on the link in the bio. patreon.com/unpack. You can support us, our writers, and you get to hear the closure to this series. Thanks for listening. I've been your host, Kai.com, and while I hope that you go listen to episode 4 on Patreon, if you don't, please let us know what you thought of the series. Send us a message on Instagram, hit us in the link in the bio, and I hope that you listen to more of our episodes. But until next time, stay healthy.